Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 28 December 2021, almost ready to tip into 2022. And folks, I do believe, I really sincerely mean this, that if we thought 2021 was rough, 2022 is going to be worse. And I do believe that. I don't like to just say that to take up time. I pray I'm wrong, but time will tell. We'll bring up a very, very special guest tonight, just in a few minutes. A man I haven't talked to, oh gosh, for 12, 13 years. Known him, been around for a long time. He's still out in the battle. He's a year older than I am and been on the radio almost as long as I've been. He's no rookie, folks. So we're going to bring up a guest man. I'll introduce you in a second who he is. But before I do that, I ask you again. If you can get on the website and go to PastorButch.com and watch a video, go up the head of the page, you will find the heading says news. You'll find news and different things up at the top. Click news and go to that page. Go down the page and find Mark of the Beast Technology. It's all in alphabetical order. And it'll be church news and police state, all that's on there. Look for Mark of the Beast Technology. Watch the first video on there about what's coming down with the jab. Now, tomorrow night, I'll be playing on the program. Tomorrow night, I'm going to share with you some information that I think you'll find more than interesting. Actually, kind of scary when you look at it, but it is what it is. It lines up with the Bible. As far as I'm concerned, it's totally telling the truth. So, but you watch that video online if you can. If not, we'll play tomorrow night. You'll hear the audio part of it anyway. Better to watch it if you can, though, with the video. And the 14-page paper, that it's on our site, too. But if you don't have a computer, folks, I would strongly, strongly advise you and urge you get a copy of this 14-page paper exposing what the name Omicron means. Omicron, it means something. It's not just an off-the-wall name. It was chosen for a purpose. And there's 14-page documentation of this to prove it. Now, folks, this stuff is not happening by chance. It's not happening by just people thinking of it, of the spirit of the moment. This has been planned for years. Years and years. They planned a biological attack in this country big time since the 90s. But this was planned by Satanists long before then. And I know the name Omicron will make you understand just how involved the wicked side is with this. How they're getting us ready and getting used to the idea of being herded like cattle, running in a pen like cattle when they're afraid they'll be driven in anywhere. That is what they're doing to us, U.S., the whole world. I'm talking about us right now. And if you don't have the courage to stand right now, when all you might be asked is be kicked out of a business, I know somebody might lose your job, If you can't say no to a mask, and if you cannot say no to a jab that's going to change your eternity, then I think maybe you better back up and sit down and forget about it, because you're finished. But if we don't do it now, and I mean right now, I don't think we're going to stop it. But if we don't stand up, we surely won't, folks. I'd rather go down swinging than bow my knees before a tyrant and say, please, let me live. Give me my mask and I'll bow down. And I'll kiss your foot. I'll say yes, sir, no, sir. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just let me live. That is not how a real man, especially a man of God, would live in this world. We owe no allegiance to any man. We owe allegiance to God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. And anything that falls outside of His direct orders in that sequence, we owe no allegiance to, and God forbid we give it. Now, before we get started and get round up and start preaching here, our guest tonight is John Moore. John, and I'll let him tell myself in a little bit, a gentleman I've known now for many years. We spoke together about 12, 13 years ago whenever Greg Giverson put together a meeting in Missouri. And of course, Greg's been home since then. I miss Greg very much. But he's, I guess you say, a veteran. Old Army school in this battle. He stood up for a lot of years exposing the lies and the truth, the lies of the tyrants and the truth of what's happening behind the scenes. So let's bring on my friend I haven't talked to for a long time, John Moore. Welcome to the program.
Pastor Bush, good to be here. Thank you, sir.
It's been a long time, John. I'm glad you're still trucking along somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, life goes on. Well, let's begin from the beginning. In the May of 1967, I was a student at U.S. Military Intelligence School in Baltimore. I was in training to be an intelligence analyst. And being 19 years old, I also had extra duties. So towards the end of May, I'm in the officer's mess. These men are old enough to be my father, early to mid-40s. And I'm standing there at parade rest, bringing them coffee or bacon or whatever they wanted. But I could hear what they're saying, so I'm only about 5 or 6 feet away from them. And these two officers, they were field grade officers. One said to the other, you know, these Golan Heights are going to cut loose any day now.
By the way, before we go any further, explain to folks what you mean by field grade officers.
Well, that's that would be majors and lieutenant colonels.
That's the higher ups, we'll say. Go ahead.
Right, and colonels. Majors, lieutenant colonels, and colonels. Company grade would be first and second lieutenants and captains. And they're intelligence officers. So what happened 3 weeks later? Well, we had the Six-Day War. And that was my first wake-up call as to why I was really in military intelligence, which is to find out about things before they happen. Fast forward a few months. I'm in psychological warfare in Vietnam, September 1967. By the end of September 1967, I knew, because of what I was doing, that there would be a Tet Offensive in January 1968, half a year away. I warned my buddies. I said, guys, they're going to hit us. They're going to hit us hard. You need to stock up on ammunition and food and get ready, because they're going to hit us. A few did. Most did not, which was my first adult exposure to the human behavior called denial. and that whole experience in Vietnam was the first glimpse I had of the truth not being told by Walter Cronkite and the government to the people.
Absolutely. And I will add this, too. I wasn't there when you were there. I went in the military in 67, so I was a little behind you. I was in the Air Force. I was stationed in Southeast Asia, Thailand. We had some places in Laos we worked out of, and also Vietnam. But this happened before I was in there. But it would be hard for them to believe it, because some of the ones who were behind the lines, hadn't been hit in years. So they had a hard time grasping the idea that they would actually punch through that far back into the South Vietnam. But they did, didn't they?
Well, what you're saying is accurate, but there's more to the story. All the flag rank officers, which would be generals, and majority of the field grade officers were veterans of either World War II or Korea or both, both of which had static lines. Once we liberated Paris, we didn't worry about the guys in Paris as we moved forward because guerrilla warfare was almost non-existent in Europe. But that was not Vietnam. So we have a habit with the U.S. military of fighting the last war, not the current war.
Yeah.
So our general staff in Saigon, they knew because they fought World War II that the guys in Saigon were safe. So I'm the first morning of the Tet Offensive. I'm laying on my belly. There's all the rockets and machine gun fire and all this, and we're listening to the radio broadcast coming out of Saigon, which is 90 miles north of me, that the Viet Cong were in the embassy in the U.S. embassy grounds inside the compound of the U.S. embassy, which allegedly should have been the safest place in the entire country. So I'm laying there thinking, if these guys are under attack, what chance do I have down here with my buddies? it was a wake-up call as to the U.S. government lying to and the most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite, lying to the people also, which was what his moniker was. He was known back in the 60s and 70s as the most trusted man in America. He did CBS News for many years as the anchor.
And he had the nation fooled. He had the people fooled. They really thought he could be trusted. He was a bald-faced liar. You find that later, but go ahead.
Well, following the Tet Offensive, even Walter Cronkite turned against the war, and Lyndon Johnson famously said, "We lost Cronkite. We lost the war." Our words to that effect. I got back from Vietnam. My father was a veteran of the South Pacific in the U.S. Army, World War II. My mother, a stay-at-home mom, and I tried to tell them that they were being lied to by Walter Cronkite. They didn't want to hear it. They simply did not want to hear it. Moving forward, I got my degree as a paralegal. Not long after that, I got recruited to be a homicide detective for the state of Missouri, 25 years old. Worked my first double homicide the fall of 1973. Most of my adult life, I've been involved in homicide investigations, criminal investigations, private investigations, and massive civil lawsuits also, as an investigator and as a paralegal. I'm now a full-time radio talk show host. I had enough murder to suit me the rest of my life, Pastor Butch. Unlike movies and TV, when I get assigned a murder case, it basically takes over my life for about a year. The life of a defense investigator is consumed by these homicide investigations.
No doubt.
And trial preparation. It's incredibly intense and incredibly difficult, and the consequences, of course, are extreme, where a man's life could literally be on the line with the threat of execution or life imprisonment, so the stakes are quite high, to say the least. Well, but I'd rather be a full-time radio talk show host, which I've been now for about 11 years or so, and I like it. And I talked about 250,000-plus people a day. My radio show is Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time on Republic Broadcasting, and my website is thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Everything's linked to my website.
And folks, you listen to that, and be sure to look him up. And I want you to be sure to repeat that several times, John, through the program. But let's get back to, very quickly to Nam and what happened there and the cover-ups you saw there. Then we'll get into what's going on down in the military today and how they're turning the military apart in peace.
General Westmoreland was still alive, and he sued ABC. It was one of the networks. I think it was either CBS or ABC or one of the three major networks, after they did a documentary on what really happened during the Tet Offensive. Now I was in a position where I'll just describe my normal work day when the Tet Offensive was not taking place. Following breakfast, I would go to the classified briefing at the 4th Corps Tactical Operations Center, where they had a room with about, I'm going to say, 40 to 50 men taking and giving and receiving messages from all over the Mekong Delta, and, of course, back and forth with Saigon as well. I attended a secret briefing there Monday through Friday. Then I went to pick up documents from the Central Intelligence Agency, from Army Security Agency, from Military Intelligence, and I would go back to my office, review and read these documents. I got RAND Corporation documents also, by the way, which is kind of a private CIA. And I would spend my day reviewing and analyzing these documents and then preparing my own reports based on what I learned. In fact, towards the end of my year there, I was preparing the monthly intelligence summary for the battalion, for the battalion commander to sign and forward to higher headquarters. So I had the opportunity to do something that most people in Vietnam didn't. That was to see both sides of the picture. What U.S. Army intelligence was telling Westmoreland and what the CIA was telling the government. I knew from my reading of CIA documents and things I had access to in addition that there was going to be a major offensive in Vietnam towards the end of January, which is the Chinese New Year celebration every year worldwide for all Chinese, called Tet, T-E-T. I also knew the Army wasn't doing a damn thing about it. We weren't stocking up on ammunition. We weren't stocking up on food. We weren't stocking up on medical.
Now, John, was this a for real cover up? I mean, did all the higher ups know and they didn't pass it down? What happened there?
Well, most large organizations work very similar, whether it's the Army or Ford Motor Company. It's not career enhancing to send a report up the chain of command that's going to make your boss angry. I mean, it's not. It's not career-enhancing. So the guys in military intelligence, Army intelligence, they knew this. They knew that if they sent reports to Westmoreland that would make him angry, that getting that next promotion was probably going to be a non-starter for them.
So they'd rather gain rank than save people's lives.
They call it ticket punching is what they called it. So they had access. Of course, the guys in Saigon had access to the same. I was a corporal, a 20-year-old corporal down the Mekong Delta. Of course, they had access to the same information I did. That was a given. I'll give you an example of some of the things that were going on. One of the things we did in psychological warfare, we had these special camps we'd set up where Viet Cong could turn themselves in. They would go to the special camp, get medical treatment if they needed it, have a safe, clean place to stay for about 2 months, where they were taught a marketable job skill, such as a entry level carpenter or a bricklayer, something of that nature. At the end of their time there, they would be given a new national ID, which was worth its weight in gold, literally, reflecting reflection at all that they'd ever been in Viet Cong or been the enemy of the country, and they could start a new life. So we would interview these guys, and most of them were youngsters. The typical Viet Cong was a teenager that was drafted against his will, and they didn't want to be in the damn Viet Cong. They were forced to under gunpoint. Sure. And they would freely and openly tell us what the real deal was, and they would say how this is the fall of 1967, how they're training for this major offensive. They're stocking up ammunition. They're stocking up food. They're making their battle plans, getting ready for this major attack. So I had access to that information. Another source, which may sound strange, but it makes perfect sense. Every village in Vietnam has a coffin builder. That would be a man who makes his living building coffins, maybe furniture for people. And the coffin builders were building stacks and stacks of coffins in these remote villages all over the Mekong Delta where I was. And that was, of course, in preparation for the enemy offensive. The Viet Cong had greater peace of mind knowing that there was a coffin waiting for them when they went into battle. So all these things came together, Pastor Butch, to tell me that the Tet offensive was real and to get ready for it. I was scrambling around to get ammunition. My battle rifle was an M16. M14. I also had an M1 carbine and a Thompson submachine gun in my 1911 45 pistol. It was difficult getting ammunition for all of them except the M14 because I pull extra guard duty for the Air Force, and they gave me extra ammunition as payment. There was no money changed hands.
Okay.
But I left with 200 rounds of ammo the following morning, following guard duty. I volunteered to pull guard duty on the perimeter of the Bintui airfield, where they thought they were going to be attacked. And the major in charge of security, he was just delighted that myself and my two buddies volunteered to pull guard duty. I should have drove a harder bargain. I should have asked for hand grenades, but I just asked for the ammunition. When we left there that morning, we were up all night in this little entrenched position. We went to the Air Force mess hall, and we'd been up since the day before. We hadn't shaved, and we were real soldiers with helmets and flak jackets and rifles. And all these Air Force technicians were in there with their unbloused boots and no weapons and clean shaven, having had a good night's sleep after the mortar attack the night before, by the way. And they looked at us like we were men from Mars. And I never walked taller or prouder than that morning with the Air Force guys watching us. I did what I could to warn the guys. I got the ammunition I could. And when they hit us that morning, that first morning, it was tough. I watched a good portion of the city burn from the roof of our building. We had a four-story steel-reinforced concrete building right downtown. And it's very surreal to watch a fire moving through a densely populated residential area and absolutely no response from any fire department whatsoever. No response
at
all.
Wow. Wow.
Which, of course, they couldn't. How could they respond? Because they'd be targets.
Well, you know, it's amazing, and I wasn't there, so I wasn't there when the Tet Offensive happened. I was there, got there soon after. What happened and what a cost to regain that ground, and I like to go more and more into that, because that was what I did, some things
well,
you told me I didn't
know.
Well,
they attacked from two sides. First of all, the Army took over the French Foreign Legion buildings. In fact, one of the guys in my outfit in psychological warfare, he was with the French Foreign Legion in Vietnam in the same town only 8 years before. Or maybe 12 years before, excuse me. So he knew everybody. He knew all the best restaurants to go to and so forth. But they attacked the 4th Corps headquarters, where I was at Monday through Friday getting the classified documents and bring the briefings, from two sides. They attacked from the canal side, which is where the fires were, a densely populated urban area with alleys that were maybe 8 feet wide. And then from the southwest, and then from the east, they attacked from the side of Kanto University, and they set up heavy machine guns and mortars inside the main academic building, which was a four-story steel-reinforced concrete building across an eight-lane boulevard directly across from the 4th Corps compound. U.S. Air Force and Army Cobra helicopters reduced the entire university complex to rubble that night, that first night. It was smoking rubble and nothing else. They got the dead bodies moved out pretty quick, but otherwise it was still a smoking rubble. But they did not penetrate the perimeter. The perimeter held at the 4th Corps headquarters. That's a good thing, because the value of taking that, the psychological value, would have been tremendous to take over the 4th Corps headquarters for the entire Mekong Delta, 4th Corps.
Absolutely. That would have ruined morale. No doubt.
It would have been devastating. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm going to say, there's so much more in this I want to talk. We got to get you on a couple more times, John. I wasn't caught up on a lot of these things. Being in that era, I wasn't in combat in Nam. I was in communications. And I was stationed on different sites, even in Laos, someplace through there. We weren't supposed to be there, but obviously we were. And Thailand, of course, and Cameron Bay, Phuket, and a few other places. But the cover-ups there are horrendous, and I know some of them. I don't know a lot of them. So obviously you've already told us more than I knew about the Tet Offensive. I knew it happened. I didn't know that people had turned their backs on the men. I mean, whenever someone is so afraid to tell their leader that they're about to be attacked and will let all those men be killed, all this happened because they might lose a promotion. That's a sad state of affairs for the Army and the military. But what's happened today in the military, John, makes that look like something very honorable. You and I are about the same age. Go ahead.
Right. Well,
go ahead.
It's only been, the pullout from Afghanistan was this past summer, 4 or 5 months ago. That was a massive disaster. We spent the fortune of this country in money and lives, American lives and American money, for two decades.
Yes. Right.
Building what was supposed to be an independent army in Afghanistan. The independent army lasted, 24 hours or so?
24, well, we did the same thing in Nam. It lasted a little longer, but same thing in Nam with about 60,000 people killed on our side that we know of, and that many more died and got home. So America right now is a laughingstock, John. No doubt about it. A laughingstock from all the world. I mean, who can trust us? Who can trust us? And why should they?
We've effeminized
the military. We make them sick with the jabs. Why should they trust us?
Well, why should anybody trust the United States military?
I don't trust the U.S. military
anymore.
Absolutely.
Instead of focusing on defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, they're focused on having women in places that women should never, ever be.
I totally agree.
And aren't. And we could probably go quite a bit on this, and maybe we should.
Of course, the homosexuals turn loose. Go ahead.
Most Americans, adults in this country, they believe that the women in the U.S. military are performing the same as the men, and if they couldn't, they wouldn't be there.
They believe that because of the
propaganda being put up by the U.S. military. Well, they can't and they won't. I can give a number of very specific real-life examples, but one of the basic things for a U.S. soldier in combat is to have the upper body strength to pick up his buddy that's been injured and get that buddy back to an aid station before he bleeds out and dies. So when I went through basic training, it was a requirement. Every soldier, whether he was going to be in the U.S. Army band or be a mechanic or run a typewriter, had to be physically fit enough to pick up another soldier of equal weight. So a 150-pound soldier had to pick up another 150-pound soldier and at a trot go around a quarter-mile track with that soldier fireman's carry across his shoulders. If you couldn't do that, you couldn't be a cook, you couldn't be a saxophone player in the Army band, you couldn't run a typewriter, you couldn't do anything in the U.S. Army unless you had that upper body strength to do that. Well, almost no women are strong enough to do that. There's almost no 120-pound woman who can pick up another 120-pound woman and carry that woman fireman's carry a quarter mile.
Hang on through the break. Folks, a lot more to get out the break. Don't go away. Plus your phone call next half hour, as always.
Satan's army's come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Nemana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
Folks, we are back in talking to John Moore. And by the way, if you listen on shortwave, don't forget that Melody Cederstrom, Discount Gold and Silver, is paying for the shortwave time on 6115. Now, we rebroadcast at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern on 3215, but we're live on 6115, 8 to 9 Eastern, three nights a week. And Melody Cederstrom is taking care of that for us, folks. And I hope you all appreciate that. I really do. Do give her a call at Discount Gold and Silver and tell her I sent you over. 800-375-4188. We're talking to John Moore. As you can tell, folks, the man's been around. He knows what he's talking about. Getting different topics, and we covered a lot of things that happened, it's hard to believe, 40-some years ago now, but it's been 40, over 50 years ago, I guess, since this stuff happened. I've been married for over 50 years, so over 50 years ago when he's talking about the Tet Offensive and all this happening, seems like yesterday to me. It's been a lifetime ago. And he's brought up today what's happening in the military today, and folks, they're destroying the military. They're literally destroying our military. And they're separating what they call the wheat from the chaff. They're getting the ones out that won't take the back, kicking them out, making them resign, whatever. They're doing this for a purpose. John, you continue. Go ahead.
Well, it may be helpful to have a little bit of background on all this. Initially, when we went to war in Iraq, I thought that once we were in combat that would be the end of females in the military. It turned out I was wrong. The women are still in the military, and in fact, they are now in pretty much all combat positions except special forces in very small numbers, Navy SEALs and so forth, Force Recon Marines. But when it comes to other combat positions, such as armor and artillery and infantry, they're in there at every level, from private to leadership positions as officers. In fact, we have every class at West Point now has probably 20 or at least 20 or more female cadets, of all things. Every physical standard at West Point and in the U.S. Army has either been changed or eliminated to accommodate the females. Now, that's what's happening right now on the 28th day of December, 2021, which... all that leads to a degradation of readiness. Women can't lead men in combat. They can't. And alpha male warrior males are not going to respect a woman. They may pretend to.
That's true.
Because,
that's true.
Because they have to. But they're not going to respect this woman. I don't care how much training she has, how tough she is, and so forth. No other army is doing what we're doing. There's various associations, like NATO, for example. When the NATO has conferences, our soldiers show up, and along with all the other soldiers from NATO. And the other soldiers make fun of our soldiers because of the women in combat positions. Every other army in NATO, they keep the women where they can serve with honor and distinction and make the best use of their skills as a woman in the medical corps, which women have served in the U.S. military medical corps for,
that's right,
many, many wars, going back to the Civil War and even before, which is wonderful. They make great use of their skills there. they now have, they're modifying body armor to accommodate female pregnant soldiers. They're modifying flight uniforms so pregnant female pilots can fly in combat. What's wrong with this picture, Pastor Butch?
I totally agree.
It's at every level. It's not just the military. Both my grandsons played football. My oldest grandson would have had a professional contract, but they stopped the tryouts last year because of COVID. So he's doing quite well. But there was a female on his high school football team. And I asked him about this young lady, and his only comment was, "She can't run." Well, I watched her attempt to run. But Washington State, it's state law that if you want to be on a football team, they must issue a uniform, and they had on the sidelines all kinds of young men and women that had no business being in a uniform, let alone on the playing field. These coaches, they're doing what they have to keep their job, and sometimes there's a female kicker. So this young lady, typically 17, 18 years old, is on the field attempting to kick a football with a dozen really tough, really fast young men running as hard as they can, trying to knock her down as hard as they can. And that's what happens when you're the kicker.
Sure.
I assure you that a young lady's fallopian tubes are not meant to take the impact of a 250-pound man running as hard as he can against her abdomen. I assure you that's
exactly
not the way
right.
God did not design a teenage female abdomen to take that kind of punishment. I assure you.
Well, with what you see happening right now, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Well, that's the exposure that's going on with these young female athletes. Right now, we have the females in every branch of the service being in places in combat positions they have no business being. They can't perform the duties of a male. They simply can't. I don't care how much training they've got. Here's what's going on. Some of the best and brightest are leaving the military. Some of the highest rates of men not getting the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot is in the U.S. Army Special Forces, Army Rangers, Marine Force Recons, Navy SEALs. The highest percentages are within those groups. We recently had the Secretary of the Navy threaten the Navy SEALs to send them a bill if they quit because of refusing the COVID clot shot. But that's not going to stop these guys.
Right.
They're not going to stop. They're going to get out. So there's three groups. There's the groups who will leave. That hurts our readiness. The group that will stay and get the clot shot and not have outward signs of illness. And the group that will stay and get the clot shot and get sick, disabled, or die. Now, we had Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long down in Alabama, a medical doctor. She prepared a sworn affidavit. A sworn affidavit is a legal document that can be presented in court as evidence. And she also testified under oath before Congress saying, in her opinion, because her job as a medical doctor is to certify pilots being ready to fly, their health and their physical condition. that every pilot who's had the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot should be taken off flight status immediately. And that's her sworn statement based on her 20-plus years as a medical doctor with the U.S. military. Now, they've tried to marginalize her and her sworn affidavit, but she gives, in a sworn affidavit, she says quite plainly that antifreeze does not belong inside human beings. Last time I checked, I think most high school dropouts in this country know that antifreeze does not belong inside a syringe to be shot inside the arm of a human being. That's pretty common knowledge. But that's what's going on. They're injecting, among other things, they're injecting antifreeze into everybody who gets the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot.
Well, obviously they're destroying our military on purpose. They're done on purpose. We know that. But I want to move on to something else, because I know that your fingers on the pulse of a lot of people, and a lot of the information comes in you like it does me. We're going into a very perilous time, I think, 2022, more than 2021 ever thought about being. What do you foresee coming, John? We're just skipping clear out of the military. Folks, the military, as we know, is done. It's finished. Nobody respects it, and they shouldn't. This isn't going to happen. But what do you see happening this next few months coming down the road?
I see a dramatic increase in people dying from the COVID-19 vaccinations. It will be unprecedented. The people in my local newspaper, we typically have one page of obituaries. Now it's routinely two pages of obituaries in the small county that I live in. I see that the normal flu season will be exacerbated by this COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. People having heart issues is the main one. Lung issues, number two. We're going to see an uptick very quickly in both tuberculosis and cancer, because people are having their immune systems destroyed. Their immune systems are wrecked. Every normal, healthy human being, whether you're a 20-year-old Olympic athlete or an 80-year-old person in a nursing home, has cancer cells and tuberculosis cells in their body. That's part of being a normal, healthy human being. Your immune system knocks them down and stops them from causing problems. If you have an immune system, if you get the COVID-19 clot shot, you no longer have an immune system. It's going to be horrendous. Now, we have enemies. The Chinese and the Russians are genuinely our enemies. They're students of General Sun Tzu. His book, The Art of War, is older than the Christian Bible. General Sun Tzu recommends striking your enemy when they're at their weakest. By late winter, early spring, we will be at our weakest. We will absolutely be at our weakest. That will be the time to strike. What could happen?
You're hearing about the same thing, Ian. We're hearing that February, March, January, even maybe February and March, something huge could happen. Is that what you're hearing, too?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's all by design. Nothing's left to change.
Of course.
Not a thing is left. This is too important to leave to chance. People will start waking up pretty quickly that the ones that still have the appearance of health, that they were shot up with something that's going to kill them. Well, and they're going to be really angry. They're going to be, and they should be angry. They accepted the clot shot in good faith, trusting the doctors who gave it to them and the pharmaceutical companies that manufactured these things, when in fact they've been given a death drug. That's what's going on. We're going to see shortages of people that have very critical skills. There's not many men and women who know how to keep a 747 Boeing aircraft properly maintained. That's a pretty short list when it comes to the complexity of something like that. You cannot easily or quickly replace men and women with that skill set that got sick or died. Now, that's just one tiny example of critical skill sets all over this country. How many men and women know how to properly and safely operate a nuclear power plant? If those people start getting sick and dying, once again, we're in big trouble. We have many areas in our infrastructure with the power grid, the locks and dams, the airports, the railroads, and so forth, where we have very few people with very highly specialized skill sets that will be getting sick and dying because of the COVID-19 vaccination.
And, you know, and this was planned. I know people want to hear this, but this was planned, was it not?
It was planned years ago. Well, I do private consultations. I have two doctors from back east New Jersey. They have a patient who works for one of the three pharmaceutical companies manufacturing the COVID vaccination. And she said, oh, we took 6 years to manufacture this. Not 7 months, 6 years, which is about what nothing's left to chance. They knew when they released this thing a year ago this month. They knew exactly what it would do because they've been working on it for 6 years. They knew their heart problems. They knew the problems killing the immune system, and they're getting exactly what they wanted to get, which is the death and damage of Americans.
Well, hey, folks, if you can call in, you can, of course, at 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. You know, we keep hearing of the Great Reset, and the Rockefeller Foundation has come out with they're going to take up, this is a fact, they're going to take over the world food supply and call it reset the table. That's your plan for that. We're going to go to civil war here, John. And I don't mean like the war between the states. That is not going to be it. It's going to be much more complicated than that. What are you hearing along those ways?
Well, I've heard these prognostications about civil war for several years, like you have, Pastor Butch. The country is heavily divided along urban versus rural areas. Most of the country, of course, is rural areas. We have 3,300 counties in this country. The majority of the population live in maybe 50 of those counties. The rest of us live in the more wide open spaces where people think and act more normal than they do in the more congested urban areas, although that's changing also.
Yes, it is.
So the dividing lines will be between the densely populated urban areas and the rest of the country. Areas where men reach their 30th birthday and could not change a spark plug in a car to put a pistol to their head. They don't have any real life skills, in other words. They don't know how to do much of anything except use their thumbs and maybe a keyboard and
not
much else.
That's my truth.
We're out here in the country. I have two teenagers work for me, an 18-year-old boy and his 17-year-old sister, and they come here one day a week and things get done because they both have multiple skills growing up on a cattle ranch where they raise chickens and sheep and the cattle and so forth. Multiple skills. So that's what it's going to be between. I don't know how this is going to work out. It'll be contrived, of course, also. Looking for some kind of trigger point, like we had the past 2 years with these various made-up racial incidents. Some trigger point like that, which will be exacerbated by the Black Lives Matter group. That's very well funded by George Soros, by the way. During the Ferguson riots, this will help, may be helpful. I had three friends there on the ground. One was a police officer and two were civilians. One was in charge of the security, the private security of the Oath Keepers. The other was a police officer on the ground and a friend of mine, a former Marine. And here's what happened. Every night, during the day, the rioters would just walk around and visit and distribute the communist newspapers. And at night, they would come downtown Ferguson. And when the TV cameras lights were turned off, they stand around talking about the weather and the latest baseball game. As soon as the TV camera lights came on, that's when they started rioting.
And
they would throw bottles full of water and urine and yell and scream and do all this bad stuff. And then when the TV lights were turned off, they'd get quiet again and not do anything. Stand around and talk to the cops and, you know, how's it going?
What a game. Hey, this takes some phone calls. We're going to run out of time. We're running out of time so quickly. John, I want to have you on again sometime. Please hold me to that, okay? Let's go to first caller, Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
I heard a story once about a guy that warned some people about Ted offensive that was coming. I assume that was you. I think you should know you saved a whole big part of people. They did not die because you gave their leader a heads up and he listened. And they all made it.
Well, my buddies made it. You're right, Jan. Yeah.
Great.
They made it. I made it. But what would you say? You guys weren't intelligence. What would you say about a nation that is already making plans for mass graves? They have a plan in place for digging mass graves.
Right. Well, all he needs is a D9 Caterpillar bulldozer in an open field.
Oh,
it's pretty simple.
They got it all planned. I'm talking about Russia. They have a whole group, they're setting it up. Who's going to do it, how deep they're going to go, how many bodies per grave, and exactly how to do it.
Well, we will see. I have no doubt. America's doing the same thing. We're preparing for mass graves also. This has started in this country also. It's coming.
Well, they're going to be in this country too. But,
yes.
They have it planned. They got it all worked out. They're down to the last detail, what they're going to do, while our guys are still running around thinking that we are the greatest fighting force on earth and no one can hurt us. It's the same thing again. It's Vietnam again. They're working on the World War II thinking when they should be thinking beyond that. And
totally
Russia
agree.
Is no one to mess with. You talk about women in combat, every man, woman, child in Stalingrad stayed and fought. They didn't leave. They stayed and fought. They lost a million people fighting over Stalingrad.
You know, Jan, we've been taking that. They're dismantling us every way possible, economically, every other way. We're destroyed morally already. There are no morals left in this country hardly at all in the masses. Maybe some people still have some, but the masses don't because they've been dumbed down. Janet, got to jump another caller, but thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to David, Massachusetts. Dave, come on in.
Oh, this has been very interesting, so many topics, but that there's one thing you're talking about, the Civil War, you know, the war between the states, war of northern aggression, war of federal aggression, war of the southern secession, however you may call it, but I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be more like the Spanish Civil War.
More like what now?
The Spanish Civil War, which is very intense. It was like you had a communist among, you know, one block and then another block, you know, people who, you know, said, we're not going to live under communism. So it was, you know, very intense, you know, very, you know.
Oh, Havana, Cuba.
Havana, you're talking about Havana. Okay,
right.
Now I got
you.
Not talking
about Spain in 1936 or 1939.
Right, okay. All right, good point. Yeah, I think you're right. This is going to be a total mess. They have so many factions now, John, in this country. Black against whites and unvaxxed against vaxxed. I mean, it's the violence more and more in the factions every day. And I see this to be a total mess when it happens, don't you?
I do. The most black folks, most white folks get along quite well. The controversy is being raised and created by the media and by outfits like Black Lives Matter to create something that doesn't even exist. Most black folks and most white folks get along quite well. And there's, if it wasn't for the media attempting to stir things up, we would get along a lot better.
Absolutely. I agree. Hey, I got you up. Good call, David. Thank you. Running out of time so fast here. Let's go next to Jim in Georgia. Jim, come on in.
Okay. I'm just going to say this, and it's probably too late for this. But about 5 years ago, when all this woke business started in the military, transgenderism, LGBTQT acceptance and all that, if pastors, parents, and teachers would have forbidden these young people from joining the military, if when they couldn't get anybody but high school dropouts, petty thieves, drunks, and drug addicts, all this business would have stopped after about 8 months, I believe. Now, it's too late now, but I believe the if they'd done something about this 5 years ago. And you say the NATO members laugh at our military. Hell, I laugh at our military. They say they're going to send the military out here to force them. I ain't afraid. You think I'm scared of them?
I understand what you're saying. I do. You know, and you said something about why didn't the parents stand up? Well, you know, quite, and I know y'all both agree with this, John and Jim both agree with this, for the last at least two generations, and maybe three generations even, we'll say two generations, we've all been dumbed down by public school to the point that, and not taught morals by anybody, even the church anymore. They had no foundation to judge us on. They didn't know they were doing anything wrong. They were doing what they were taught to do all their lives, so they were so ignorant of the truth They didn't know what they were doing anything wrong. Don't depend on the pastors teaching me anything, because they're not going to teach me anything. Not even the morals of being right and wrong. We have church now having drag queens come in and teaching the children. So how can the name of God expect the young people to know what's going on? This is where we're at today. Yes.
I'm gonna say this and hang up and let you go to somebody else. But the other day, Marjorie Taylor Greene, somebody said that she didn't qualify to hold public office because she believes in God. Now,
oh, yeah.
30 years ago, if you said something like that, we'd have tarred and feathered you.
That's exactly right.
I wasn't allowed to play with kids that didn't believe in God. Now, I'll see you after a while, Pastor.
All right, good call. Thank you. Good call. I mean, that's pretty. I mean, he's right on, John. He's telling
he
the truth, is he not? Let's go to Mick and Mecca. Mick, come on in. Got about 1 minute. Come on in, Mick.
Oh, hey. How y'all doing?
Good. How you?
Oh, hey. Now then, let's start with, in the Bible, it tells you exactly who the heck they are. Even though they say they're an Israel liar. I'm an Israel today. That's your main enemy right there.
I agree that's overall, that's absolutely true, Mick. It really is, but there's so much more to it than that. They've infiltrated all the churches today. I mean, most even so-called Christian churches are as useless as ticks on a boar hog. They do nothing. Occupy space. And I agree with what you're saying. I do. Matter of fact, I got proof that most of this COVID stuff was brought on by the false Jews. That's really true. I got to jump. Good luck, man. We're out of time so fast. Let's go to Mike, North Carolina. Mike, come on in.
Thank you, Butch. Hello.
Yes, sir.
How are you, John?
Really good. What's on your mind, sir?
I'd like to know if there's a listen live number for your show, and I'd like to know the time that you're on Eastern.
Eastern.
Yeah, give that again to him, John, please.
8 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday Eastern. Everything's linked. The live show's linked from my website at thelibertyman.com.
I'm not online. Is there a listen live number like with Global Star?
There is. Republic Broadcasting has a listen live telephone number, and I don't have that in front of me.
I'll have somebody look it up for me. Thank you, John. Yeah. God bless.
Right.
Good call. Thank you. Appreciate it. We're about out of time, John. Give them again the information. All they can have, they can find. This is so important, folks. Pay attention to this
Don't use a search engine. Put my website right into your browser. If you use a search engine, you'll be 20 different places. My website is thelibertyman.com. And my radio show is Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time. Archives available to listen anytime you want on Rumble and Brighteon.
All right. John Moore, thank you so much. May I call
you
again,
sir,
sometime?
Let's do this again.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Thank
folks,
you.
We'll see you tomorrow.
You too.
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll discuss some very important issues. See you there. Good night, John.
Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as common sense voices of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.